Christine. What Christine and her gang, her volunteers and other staff does down in Urban Hope is actually amazing. It's really, but it's really understated. It's really understated. You know, whenever I've had the opportunity to talk with other pastors, you know, we sometimes talk about what we're doing, and I'm able to relate what just the life that takes place here. And you guys, if you're not here every day, like, you know, the staff is, you don't necessarily think about it, but the activity and the life that's taking place, both at Urban Hope, over at the Oaks, and just the different people that we rent to and stuff, just the activity. But with Christine and George and how they lead Urban Hope, I just want you to know that what I so admire in both of you, and seriously, I do, is this. You guys embody the Great Commandment. You know? George will leap here when he's doing, right? I leap in my heart. I do leap, but it's just inside, right? But these guys, they live it. They live it. And that's what I so appreciate. It's what I love about the diversity of the body. But you guys bring it out. Your love for God, but also your love for your neighbor. You just ooze that. And it's a good oozing. So I just bless you today, what you have to bring, Christine. And thank you so much for everything. And last night was a great night.
It was
a great night. So yours.
Yes, last night was a great night. It was cold. It wasn't that cold, but it was cold. We walked the day before. I think it was colder the day before. But I'll do an announcement for coldest night of the year. So we landed so far, and we still have lots of money coming in. This is absolutely fantastic. 47,000 right now, $469. We're at 118% over our goal. Isn't that amazing? I'm declaring we probably will hit 50 because money's coming in we haven't even dealt with yet. So we had a fantastic, fantastic time. I enjoyed it. I got to connect with people I didn't know. That's what I wanted to do. And I gave a shout out yesterday, but I'll give a shout out today. Jessica Baker. Some of you guys got to meet her and walk with her yesterday. Sweet lady. She just raised on her own. She raised up to $6,000 for us. And she's amazing. She's not on a team. She's raised on her own for us, and she did that last year, too. Sweet lady. Actually, it's the first time I met her this year because it was virtual last year, right? And then Turks to Lumber and Turks to Trim. They do 2,600. Yeah, so they sent a picture in of themselves, too. Amazing they've raised that much for us. And then our new supporter, which is amazing, it's Neighborhood Credit Union. So it's in the Mall of Cambridge in the credit union there. They raised $5,500 for us. And as a company, they raised, like, all over the place in Ontario, they raised $30,000. Isn't that amazing? I feel so blessed to see, makes me want to cry, how much the community is supporting us. And that's my passion, right, is the community. That's what we're called, and I'm going to preach on it, to the nations, right? We're influencing our community, and look what they're doing. They're supporting us. And then our new sponsor, we have Toyota and Rockwell, which is amazing. They're always faithful. But that Encore Threads and Treasures, and I didn't even expect them to come walk with us. So they showed up yesterday, and it was fantastic. I had some great talks with them. They brought family members. Are we higher now? Oh, we're at 120. So what's the mark? 47 something or still? 48,000 and change. Wow. Woo! Fantastic. Wow, it just blows me away. So, yeah, money just keeps coming in. It must be the kingdom. It's a fun surf. All right, what the Lord put on my heart today is pretty much a welcome to Christine Lacatus and my walk with the Lord and the struggles I walk through and with the Lord and wrestle out with him. So the title of my message is The Life That God Calls Great. It's a pretty powerful title, don't you think? The Life That God Calls Great. What is this life God calls great? To walk with an overcoming heart, a vibrant spirit. Does God call a certain lifestyle great? That's the question. So in Matthew 5:19, it says, Therefore, whoever relaxes or breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So you're in the kingdom of heaven. You get in, but you'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Pretty powerful scripture, don't you say? This is Jesus taught shortly after the Beatitudes, which Scott and Kim are going through, right? The 8 Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mountain. He describes the attitudes and the actions of the character his disciples should be walking in, right? So he does this right after this. And then he does, which I think is so amazing, because I went and I talked to Emmanuel City Church 2 weeks ago, which was amazing. And Scott, they both did a teaching on salt, right? And light. So it's so powerful. So this is this just before salt and light. And then it goes into this scripture, right? And out of listening to both of you guys, I thought, you know, salt, what does salt do? And I think you described it, but it purifies. And if I'm salt, then wherever I go, I should be purifying. I should be releasing his presence, right? It also creates a thirst. What do they do at the bar? Get those nuts out there nice and salty so you can do some more drinking, right? It creates a thirst. I want people to thirst after Jesus just by being in my presence. That's what we are. It melts people's hearts. I think we all experience this. I'll go somewhere, you go somewhere, you just sit down somewhere, and before you know it, you're talking to somebody beside you and they're telling you their whole life. How many times does that happen? That's God in us. It's healing. Doesn't salt bring healing? It's a healing agenda, right? We bring healing. That's what we're called to do. And then you have light. Light. It's not like the other guy, Emmanuel, he did this. He says a flashlight, stick it in your eyeballs. But if it was all dark here and there's a flashlight and I just let it shine, right? It's going to draw people to it. But if you're carrying, I always say if you stand in the rain, you don't try to get wet. You automatically get wet. So if I'm living a lifestyle unto the Lord, I don't have to try. I mean, I got to press into God, but I should automatically be radiating this. So going back to 5:19, where it says, he who teaches or encourages and basically lives it, embodies it, these commandments, right? They will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want everybody to be called great in the kingdom of heaven because we're going to be there for eternity and that's what we're going to be known for, right? So if we're embodying this and if we're obeying these and doing them, will our Father call our lifestyle great then? How about our choices? Will he say, in effect, the way you choose to spend your time when no one else is around, what are you spending your time on? What are you empowering in your life? It's reality. What are you spending your money on? What choices do you make? These affect what calls our life great in the kingdom of heaven. I always say, Jesus, I want you to shock me now. I want you to shock me now, not when I'm standing before you. Wake me up now, right? So I can live that life that you call great. Then that adds into the scripture of 5:19, which is the most powerful scripture, the most important in the whole Bible. All commandment comes under it. As we know, Matthew 22:37-38, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with, right? It is the greatest and first commandment. It's our first priority in the kingdom. It's our first calling in our lives. It's a promise we pray for the most and the most reliable definition of a great life. The way you choose to engage your heart, the way you choose to engage your heart to respond to God. Then John, I'm going to go to 13-21, even though it goes to 24, but I find it's one of the most powerful scriptures. Well, all the Bible's powerful, but it describes the first commandment. It says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees it nor knows it. You know it, for him, he dwells within you and be within you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, also you live. And that day, you will know that I am in you, and the Father in you, and me, and I in you. We are really in each other. And you ever as the commandments, and keep them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will love him and manifest myself to him. When I read the first part of the scripture, whatever you ask in my name, it's in Jesus' name. So it's on his terms, not my terms. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father will be glorified. Do you know what the Father longs to glorify? He longs to glorify Jesus. Right? So this, I'm like, it brought me to the scripture of John 17:26, where it says, I made known to them your name. This is Jesus talking to the Father. And I will continue to make known to them the love which you, Father God, have loved me, Jesus, may be in them, that they would love me. That's what he's saying right here in the very beginning of John. He says the ultimate thing we should be asking for and praying for is to impart the Father's love in us for Jesus. I prayed all the time, Lord, increase my love for you. Put the same love, Father, that you have for Jesus in me. Because sometimes I can't even stir it up. I mean, you know what I mean? I got to press in to things, right? But I'm saying, God, you know, that's my story. I'm pressing in. Because the greatest pleasures available to the human spirit are spiritual pleasures that come to us as God reveals God to us. Empowering us to live for him, love him, we are free from interior pleasures of sin. We just don't desire them. They don't have the pull on us as his love captivates us, as the songs we're singing. Really, what is sin? It's self in need, right? But Jesus fulfills that. Then we don't need to reach out to feel self in need because he's completing us. It is experiencing the superior pleasure of his love in us for him. This is where your greatness will be found. This is where satisfaction in your life, in the spirit, will become the highest place. This is where we flow out of everything. Our greatest pleasure is in him, because we were created for love, so we only thrive as God reveals his love to us and imparts it to us. Does that make sense? You guys getting it? It makes me think of Solomon's Songs of Song, chapter 8, verse 6, where, you know, he sets a seal upon us, right? And it's like a flash of fire, his flame of God. The fire is strong as death. You know, like that love is so strong that death can't hold it down. That's what he did for Jesus for us. So our greatest pleasures are in him. And we are to walk in that love that is manifested through obedience. That's where we go back. The greatest thing is abiding in his commandments. But it has to flow out of love. Therefore, we will abide in his commandments. As I just read John, it says four times, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. God defines loving God as being deeply rooted in a spirit of obedience. God calls us to love him on his terms. As it says in John 14:15, I'll just tell you where it all says it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me in 14:21, who keeps them? It is he who loves me. 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. 14:24, he who does not love me does not keep them. I would say Jesus is really trying to get our attention. And that a short amount of scripture, how many times does he say it? If you love me, you will obey me. I say, Lord, it's on your terms. Great satisfaction, liberty of the Spirit is dying to ourselves and living for Him. Loving God in the spirit of obedience, reaching out to God, reaching out to obedience. A wholehearted obedience. If we don't live a wholehearted obedience to God, and I experience this sometimes. Like my life feels dumbed down life, and a spirit of dullness or a spirit of boredness comes over me. And then I'm going, I gotta press into you more, Lord. That's His way of waking me up, right? He says, to a God who loves us with all His heart, He asks us to love Him with all our heart. Therefore, the dark emotions then minimize as we pursue Him. You want to deal with those emotions and those mind thoughts and feeling the dumbed downness. You pursue Him. Put on that worship. Read the Word of God. Cry in His love inside of you. That's what we pursue. That's what fulfills everything. And as we love Him, we will obey Him. And then this is just a side note of John. This is just some of the blessings that result in this scripture. It says, Jesus will ask the Father to give us a counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, and He will be with us forever. The Holy Spirit will live with us and be in us. We will not be abandoned as orphans, but Christ will come to us. We will see Christ even if the world cannot see Him. We will live because Christ lives in us. Father and Jesus will make their home in us. Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Thank goodness. He teaches us not some things. He teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit will remind us of everything Christ has said. I am so thankful for that. So many times He shows up with His word or something when I'm really at a loss. And the Holy Spirit's so faithful to do that. So if our first priority is loving God, and we walk out in obedience, that is a fruit. Fruits of obedience. So I looked up John 15:4. It says, so you must remain in life union, oneness with me. For I remain in life union with you. For a branch cut off from the vine will not bear fruit. So your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to me. Again, wholeheartedly. If you're going to give Him 80%, you're going to live 80% of life. I'm just being real, right? He said wholeheartedly. And one of my favorite scriptures I always say is Proverbs 3:6. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do. Whatever you do, you adore Him with undivided devotion. John 15:5 says, I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union, one, with me, as I am your source, He is my everything. And if He's my everything, I'm set free from myself. Therefore, I'm set free from you. Right? Therefore, I can love you whether you respond back to me because He fulfills me. As your source, fruitfulness will then stream from within you. But when you live separate from me, you are powerless. I didn't like that part. Powerless. I don't want to be powerless because that's another commandment God gives us. He says, first of all, I said, we understand to know the walk in power and character together. That is the ultimate, right? I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't walk in godly character, but we quench the Holy Spirit when we don't walk in power. He commands us to. He's released it all to us. Failure to cooperate with His divine activity. He does the miracles, but I got to jump into it. I got to make myself available. And that's my struggle is time. We need kingdom principles. We need power to bring about transformation to our culture around us. We could be good character, and that's good. But the message came with signs and wonders. It did. And that's what scripture says. It says, you must continually bring healing to the lepers and to those who are sick, and make it your habit. Make it your habit to break off the demonic presence from people and raise the dead. How many people this week raise the dead? It's supposed to be our habit. You know, this is something to stretch for. I'm always stretching in this constantly. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it to others. We need to be making self available. God says, therefore, go and do this. And a lot of times people say, what gives me the right to say I can't do this if I'm saying, well, my character's not there yet. But a lot of times, even when I'm struggling, I go pray for somebody and God touches them. You know how much that blesses me and draws me closer to God? A day or two, I was in the Food Basics. I saw an older lady hunched over. I went over and prayed for her and loved on her. And the presence of God fell on her. And I wanted to help her she was getting some water or something, wanted to help serve her. She said she was okay, but then she ended up praying for me. You know, like, that's God. I can't tell you times I've gone out and prayed for them and they feel God's presence. I don't know if she knew the Lord, but she was just so bubbled up. She just started praying for me. God, he just gets you every time. I mean, I remember I was one time we had one of our guys, Stevie, who passed away, and Becky went down. We were praying over where he died. He froze to death down there at the river. Anyhow, and then we start praying over the place and taking ground because I really shared the gospel with Stevie. And so we were taking ground, and I looked to Food Basics, and it was around Christmas time, so it was around the holidays, but there was some people skateboarding over there, and I said, Becky, let's go pray for these guys, right? So we went over to pray for them. And there was this one little girl, she was shorter than me, but she was, I don't know, 20-something. She was coming out of addiction. So we prayed for her, and the tangible presence fell on her. She actually fell back, you know, we were praying for her. And then we got in a circle, and I said, I'd love to pray for you all. And they said, no, we want to pray for you. There was like six of them, and we hung hands, and they ended up praying for me. God is just so good, you know. So there's a hunger out there. There really is a hunger out in the world. But we have to step out into it to see that hunger. Because we carry the thirst, baby. We're salty. So then when the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out preaching everywhere while the Lord was working with them and confirming with signs that followed. Then he goes, as I imagine we've been preaching, I've been preaching at tons downstairs, and you've been preaching up here, but all authority in heaven on earth has been given to us. That's a whole teaching in itself on authority and reigning through the love of Jesus. But it's all been given to us. We can bind things and loose as it is in heaven because we want God's kingdom to take place. We have that authority as believers to pray the word of God and speak it out so it can accomplish its purposes. We need to be praying. All authority has been given to us, and therefore we make disciples. He says, make disciples of the nations. Now that's a big one. Discipling nations. I see it bigger than even evangelism, even though I love evangelism. I get blessed constantly be able to lead people to Lord, but it's the discipling part, right? The word is actually talking about bringing an entire culture and a set of values to earth, kingdom values to earth. Why does the Lord focus on the kingdom to come onto earth? That's the Lord's prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's his prayer. I believe in the process of stepping out and winning people to Christ and walking in signs and wonders, we should be teaching heaven's values and truth, such as love, joy, peace, so much. The Beatitudes, right? We should be teaching this out there in our workplaces because, therefore, it brings prosperity of the kingdom out there. Examples of another truth is honesty, integrity, forgiveness, holiness, selflessness. There are many values that are found in God's word that make up the kingdom of God. It is our job as believers, as Jesus did, to take both the spirit and the truth and the power in every sphere of our life so that doing to redeem the people, to redeem society. As we are faithful to do this, we discover that it is the truth that truly means discipling the nations. If you're in a job out there and you're a believer, you're in the best place to be bringing out the kingdom principles, right? To speak and live it. You are the salt of the earth, right? We should be manifesting the kingdom of God within our sphere of influences. So when our society comes in contact with this, it comes in contact literally with the culture of heaven. We are supposed to be uprooting the systems that are keeping people enslaved and replacing them with systems of righteousness that brings forth the kingdom principles to our society. This is where God is calling us. This is where God is waking up the church today, because we are called to disciple the nations. I have a buddy in Germany, and she talks about her church. It's simple. They have running groups. They have cycling groups. And they come together, they pray, and they put things out in the newspaper to invite people. And they invite people, and they come into their groups, and they share life with them. They do devotions, and so many people are coming to the Lord. They have a restaurant or something they did, and that's where her husband came to the Lord. He got hired to be a cook there. But in the midst of that, they do devotions and they pray, and he ended up giving his life to the Lord. Kingdom principles out there. And they come under that principle, and then they give their life to Jesus. Or they at least live under that principle, which changes the atmosphere. That's what we're called to do. To live beyond the four walls. I would say, as in Romans 8:19, all creation is groaning, awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. It's been groaning for a while. And I'm telling you, I see a freshness take place. When I'm downstairs and I do a little preach before I say grace, Twilight and these guys have seen it. The atmosphere is so different. I had a whole group twice get up, say their prayer to give their whole life to Jesus, the whole group, and then get up and clap. Woo! I'm telling you, there is a harvest out there. There's a shift since COVID. You know, I think because of the loneliness and the pullback for the body of Christ, did really have a good Sabbath time, you know, we're coming out. There is a hunger in the world. And I'm telling you, the gospel is good news. They actually really do want to hear it. You know, sometimes I think I'm preaching to these guys too much. And then they come to me and they go, oh, we missed you say your thing before grace. Oh, I was trying to get here on time. You know? And then the other day the guy showed up for Multiply, remember? And I thought he was just going to go right in the shower. And he goes, no, can you get me a Bible? And he sat down and he did Multiply with us the whole time. And he read most of the scriptures. And he read better than me, all those Ibakites and goo, but you know, he did so much better than me. And he loved it. And before he jumped in the shower, he goes, thank you so much. I want to continue to come to this. Right? And he is one of my guys every once in a while. Like, it seems like he's not there, right? But he was so tuned in, was he not? So tuned in. And he gave such amazing words. And yeah, for whatever we are, an hour and a half, 2 hours, he sat down and read scripture with us. And he loved it. And it just blows me in. And then the other day, another guy, John, comes up early. He goes, oh, I showed up early. Can I join your devotion time in the morning? I'm like, sure, come in. You know, so they're showing up. And there is a hunger out there. And it's time for us to share the gospel. It's time for us to pray for people and watch God move. And I just say, I'm coming to an end here, but I just want to say that I believe for everybody, it doesn't mean if you're looking rich, because we can be poor inside, right? But God, I love that God chooses people that no one would ever think would amount to anything. And he pours, makes me cry and cry, and he pours to them the true teachings of his kingdom. and let the gospel transform them, and then release them out. That's Isaiah 61, as we know, right? We are anointed to bring healing to the captives and set them free, but then they become the mighty oaks, and they bring healing to the ancient ruins and repair the ruins within the cities of the generation. And that's where I am today. I see so many people come to the Lord. That's why we have two multiply groups going right now, and then Jeff does one on Tuesdays, right? And we created a worship time down there on Friday, and prayer is on Monday online right now, but we're going to bring it into on in person again. So we're constantly creating an atmosphere. The atmosphere is constantly there, and the people, and then our people are showing up. I'm not even fully inviting them, and they're showing up. I mean, I say it, but it's just the Holy Spirit. So I'm very excited what God is doing, and that, you know what? So to live the greatest in the kingdom is number one is to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, right? And then, though, but to say that, we know it's the second commandment, and it says here, but I got this in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I love you. You love one another just as I love you. Remember that when you're about to make a decision that is not good, okay? If we are to love one another just as much as Jesus loves, the Father loves Jesus, and we love Jesus the same, that's a powerful love. So we don't want to speak against our brother and sister, even if we have different opinions, because love covers a multitude of sin, and that's what we should be walking in, not creating sin, but loving each other and praying for each other. Our gold downstairs, and I always say we lift each other up. We pull the gold out of each other. So we love one another. By this, all people know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. That is also a principle we need to be walking out. So loving him causes us to love others, but also causes us to obey. Therefore, we need to teach. Or that is what causes us to be great in the kingdom of heaven. Teach, live it wherever you are, wherever you work, when you're out shopping. If God gives you a heart for somebody, be character, help that person. Also offer to pray and see what the Lord will do. Make yourself available. I always say with the Holy Spirit, you know, when I accept Jesus, like drinking water, it's all inside of me. But I also have to constantly emerge myself into the baptism of fire by jumping into the water. I have to make my effort to jump in. So jump in. And if at the beginning of Multiply, we would say to each other, if you're out and you're feeling nervous about praying for somebody, let's text each other so we'll pray for each other. So we encourage each other to step out. That's what we do. Because I pray, but I still need encouragement. We all do. We all do. So let's do this together. So if you guys posture yourself to receive, I'm going to pray John 17 over us about his love. First priority. Lord, you tell us, you say to the Father, Father, put a love in those that you bring to me. The same love, Father, that you love me may be in them, that they would love me the same. I declare that over us, Lord. The same love, Father, you would put in each one of us to love Jesus. And out of that, we will flow a lifestyle of obeying all your commandments wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. You love us so much. You encourage us. You say, just come to me and I will strengthen you in this. He says, you're not a failure. He says, I will strengthen you. Just come to me. Come to me. And therefore, then release for the teaching and the testimony. Let it go out. Teach the gospel. Live the gospel. Walk out in signs and wonders. I just declare over each one of you this, the love of the Father to overtake you, to love Jesus, to love others, to obey, and therefore walk in signs and wonders and teach the kingdom principles out in the world everywhere you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.